Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to start with one of the most familiar verses of scripture that everybody could quote in their sleep. Not a bad idea. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now there's an interesting section here, which is pretty logical, but important to understand. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So it's hard to call on somebody's name if you haven't believed. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? An even more basic truth. If somebody hasn't heard, then they can't possibly call on that name or believe it. And then another more obvious truth. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Right. So if nobody preaches or speaks the word, people aren't going to be able to hear or to believe or to call on the name of the Lord, and therefore to get eternal life and salvation. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Have you ever wanted beautiful feet? Well, if you did, one way to do that is to preach the gospel. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the right way of believing, to believe rightly, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a very, very simple section, but important to understand. Look at Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at the topic of speaking God's word today. Very briefly, we could read the entire book of Acts to see it, but very briefly looking at it. In Acts chapter 3, verse 11, you know, we just read in Romans where if you don't speak the word, nobody hears, nobody hears, nobody believes, right? And that's still true today, yes? Right? If I don't speak the word to somebody, I don't care if it's some, you know, whole 13 years old, youngest to the oldest, my dad. You know, I don't care however old we are or young we are, right? My sphere of influence is different than yours. Like, you see other people, different people. I see different people every day. My responsibility is to hold forth the word of God to whoever I get the opportunity to do so. And if I don't do that, then there's no way that I've made available eternal life to the people that I happen to see every day. And that's on me, right, to think about. Acts 3:11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, this is after that healing, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, You men of Israel, why marvel you at this, or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Remember, we're looking at keys here and speaking God's word. There's a great key right there that when we speak God's word, that word is backed up not by our own power or by our own holiness, right? But the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. So it's backed up by God who raised Jesus Christ. Verse 14, But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Right? Now we just read in Romans that if you make Jesus your Lord and believe that God, what? Raised him from the dead, and that is how you get saved. So here's Peter, what's he doing? He's preaching the word, telling them how to get saved. He says, God raised him from the dead. So if I happen to be speaking to somebody, probably a good thing for me to tell them that God raised Jesus from the dead. Right? It's probably a good thing. And in fact, if you look through the book of Acts, I can't think of a case where they preached the word of God and they didn't mention the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? That God raised him from the dead. You might want to study the word resurrection sometime in the book of Acts to see that. It's amazing. Right? So they told him, they told these people that God raised him from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, not by our own power or holiness, Peter said, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So maybe when I'm speaking God's word, what I want to do is tell people that, you know, you can call on the name of Jesus Christ, and if you have faith in that name, you can see great deliverance in your life. Maybe that's something to talk about. That's what they talked about here, isn't it? This guy got healed, and they're like, well, look, it's not just for him. It's for anybody who comes and believes on the resurrection and calls on the name of Jesus Christ. If I know somebody in my life or that I minister to or I happen to see every day that has a physical need or a mental need or a spiritual need, and I withhold or and I keep that information to myself, right? I haven't been exactly a very faithful witness of Jesus Christ, have I? Right. Verse 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Another great, interesting key in witnessing. You know, you're speaking to somebody, hello, George, how are you doing? Whoever you're talking to, you know, and say, did you know that everything that was written in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ, he did it. Right? Everything, and isn't that what it says there? All things, right, which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he had so fulfilled. That's what he's telling them. Don't you guys know that everything that was written about Jesus Christ, he did it. Right? He came and he fulfilled all the prophecies, right? You know, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. And that same Jesus, someday he's coming back. Right? See, all these real simple truths. Witnessing to somebody is not hard, right? It's not hard. Like, it's a little bit hard maybe to start the conversation, right? You know, and again, doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 105. Doesn't matter. It's just, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. Why? Well, it says in the Bible that everything that he was supposed to do, he did. And then God gave Holy Spirit and Pentecost. And I believe that. And I've been able to speak in tongues. And, you know, and the Bible says he's coming back. You ought to do that too. You know, you can call on his name. You'll never be ashamed. You'll get saved. You'll get eternal life. All these really, really simple truths that we take for granted, right? Really, really simple truths. But boy, they're so powerful. And they're all right here, right? Verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, all of them, since the world began. God said he spoke by all the prophets. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets, the third time it says here, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You know, you can see every single prophet in the Old Testament talked about the coming of Jesus Christ. Either the first coming or the second coming, right? They all talked about it, right? You know, you can't say that about anybody. You can't say that about Buddha or Krishna or Allah or any of those. You can't say that. It's not true. It's only true about Jesus Christ, right? All the prophets. Verse 25, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son, Jesus, there's that resurrection, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, men who were very religious, very much into the synagogue, very much into, you may consider, things of God, or supposed to be into things of God, being grieved, verse 2, that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection, what? The resurrection from the dead. Right? These people got concerned. So we should never be concerned if religion today gets concerned when you speak God's word. Right? It happened to these men, happened to Jesus Christ. Again, these are keys here to see what it means to speak the word. And guaranteed, because, again, I think we did it once in one fellowship, we go through the word of God many years ago, we looked at all the records where, when they spoke the word, the devil tried to shut them up. Right? Because he understands how important the preached word is. He understands. Right? So if it's that important to the devil to shut them up, right, it must be very, very important to speak God's word. Right? That he would do anything he could to stop them. And here he tries here again. Verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. They put them in prison for speaking the word. Right? Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. Many of them. Right? What does many mean? And the number of the men was about 5,000. That's many, isn't it? That's 5,000 people believed when they had been speaking the word. Right? Wow. And it came to pass on the morrow, so they were in prison all night, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest, right? High priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Right? You know, these men, they were pretty evil, right? They were trying to stop these people from preaching the word. But the response is interesting that Peter gives here. Like, you would think that what they might say is something like, well, you're a bunch of idiots. Why do you try to stop the preaching of the word, you know? Don't you know that it's the truth? You know, they might have tried to, but look what they said. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God had, what? Had raised from the dead. What do you think he was giving them the opportunity to do? Believe, to be saved. They needed it just as much as anybody else. Now, maybe some of them didn't believe that. But here he is. He taught them that God raised. He told them, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. And they could have believed. They could have said, wow, you're right. We believe that. They had the opportunity, right? Whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Again, not by our own power or holiness, but by him. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name, not Allah, not Buddha, not Krishna, not Rama, no other name, right, given, not one, not Muhammad, no other name given whereby we must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, look, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So they didn't really received the preaching, did they? They still want to shut these men down, but they had the opportunity, right? God gave them the opportunity to believe, right? And they said, what are we going to do? but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So it must be very important to speak God's word if the devil is doing so much to try to shut them down. Right? For most Christians, and I don't want to generalize, but I would suspect the devil doesn't really have to work that hard to shut them up. Right? Because many believers don't speak the word anyway. Right? So I don't know what it is, you know, and I was thinking the other day that a lot of things, you know, it's interesting to see some of the trends that happen in life, to see the impact they have on the written word and what is going on. You know, I mean, I'm not an expert on the, you know, patterns of life and the things that happen, but if I just look around me and I see children or teenagers or even adults constantly wearing headphones, or if I see them, you know, constantly listen to music or never in a situation, I think that presents a barrier to communication, right? Therefore, the chance of somebody speaking to somebody who has headphones on about God's word has just diminished quite a bit if they didn't even have the headphones on, right? So, you know, I tell our kids, you know, you're out and about, don't be walking on headphones, you know, don't be doing that kind of stuff because it's killing communication. So how much, you know, how much of society today do you see around you where the world is becoming, you know, in this world of communication, the world is becoming more closed, right? It's interesting. Everybody says it's the world of communication, you know, right to information access, you must know everything. And all this information is available and everybody is shutting down, right, communications. So, you know, so the adversary has worked behind the scenes a great deal to shut down the communication between people. But we don't have to, you know, fall prey to that. We don't have to. It's up to us. It's up to me and my sphere of influence. Again, you know, it's up to each one of us who we minister to, whether it's, you know, kids on your soccer teams or kids at work, people at work or people we see. It's up to us, up to every one of us to hold forth the word of God to people, right? It's our responsibility. See, they commanded them. Now, Peter, verse 19, and Peter and John answered and said unto them, look, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. So, what were they doing when they were speaking the word? Who were they being obedient to? Right. God. Right. God told them to speak my word. Right. And so, if these men came to them and said, don't speak the word, or if the government passes a law that says you cannot speak the word, right, who are we going to take heed to? Right? It's my choice. Men make rules, and they do make rules. They say things like, we're no longer a Christian nation. You know, they make these rules. Now, when those rules contradict God's word, right, in this case, they were sent to jail. Right? Right? When those rules contradict God's word reigns supreme. And the laws of the land must be secondary to the word of God. Right? So when they had further threatened them, sorry, verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For if a truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, look at their prayer. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. In other words, look what they are doing to us. Behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may what? Speak thy word, right? It got him, put him in jail, right? You know, you got to really think about it. You know, we were sometimes, again, read these records, well, they got thrown in jail, fine. But think about it. They got put in jail. You have a prison sent. You have a record on your record saying you went to jail. So when you answer all those forms and getting passports and going across borders and saying, have you ever been, you know, sent to jail? You have to say, yes, I was. And they're going to say, why? You see, it's a, you know, think about what they preached, give us more boldness to speak your word, right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians. I really love this section, 1 Corinthians. Not that it matters if I loved it or not. Still the truth, but verse 9 in 1 Corinthians 9:9. It is for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Right? I don't know if your kids understand what that verse means, but just I think most of the adults do, but when they were used to have the cows plowing the fields, they would never put a muzzle on them, so they could actually do what? Eat. While it was you know, doing that hard work of plowing the fields, it was allowed to eat whatever they were plowing, so that it would stay. You know, they just didn't protect, cover their face with a muzzle and say, okay, work hard, but you can't have any of that stuff here. No, they gave them a little bit, right? So Paul was saying here, he was the laborer, and he's saying he had every right, because he was preaching the word, to be blessed by them, whether they gave him food or clothing or shelter. He was saying that was rightful in the eyes of God for the people there to provide these things for him. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. So you plow, you expect to get something back. And that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. So eventually, they ought to get some of the wheat. So he's making a case, because he preached the word of God a lot, and he was saying that because he preached, they were supposed to biblically take care of him. Verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, in other words, if I've come, he said, and I've sown spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And he's saying, well, is it a big deal if the odd time, he said, you guys provide food for me, carnal things, food and clothing, because I've taught you God's word? Verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, who else were partakers of this power over them? Wasn't Israel? Didn't they tithe to the temple? Didn't they give meat and stuff to the priests? Right? If others were partakers, are not we rather? Nevertheless, now this is what I love. Nevertheless, he says, I know he said that this is the way it should be, but we have not used this power. He goes, I've never asked, he said, for food. I've never asked for clothing. But suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul says, I'd never wanted to put anything between me and the preaching of the gospel. So he never asked them for food or clothing or shelter. Right? He could he have? Yeah. But he never did. Which I love that. Verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple? There it is. He goes, those guys who are Levites who are ministering the holy, they live off the food given to them. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar, yes? They used to get the meat and all that. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. He says, Paul is saying, he's preaching the gospel. He has every right to live off the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. He wasn't saying that I'm writing this because I want your food or clothing. He goes, that's not why I'm saying it, he said. Why was he saying it then? For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, doesn't matter whether this was ever done to him. The most important thing was what? Preaching the gospel. You know, sometimes as believers, you might think, well, you know, I tried, no one believes me, people keep shutting the door in my face, or no one wants to believe, and, you know, how come I don't get any? Well, here's Paul writing, he never wanted anything back, did he? Well, why would he? Well, let's keep reaching. It's interesting what preaching the gospel leads to. Verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, in other words, if you did it out of a true heart and spoke the word of God willingly, I have a reward. Whoa, interesting. So there are rewards for preaching the gospel. Right? Know what it says? I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, specifically for Paul, even if he did it against his will, he was still responsible for the gospel. He still had to preach the gospel. That was his calling. Right? But because he had the responsibility, he still had the choice to whether do it willingly or unwillingly. What was the difference? Willingly, what happened? You get a reward. Right? You get a reward. What is my reward then? Verse 18. There's no point in guessing, right? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. Just freely preaching the gospel. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. Verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew. Was he a Jew any longer? No. He wasn't, yeah, because he had become part of the church of God by believing on Jesus Christ. Right? But he still chose to do some things that were, you might call, Jewish in nature. Why? So he could reach them with the gospel. Right? You know, sometimes we don't necessarily like to hang around all different kinds of people. Right? No, we don't, right? I mean, we all pick and choose, and certain kinds of people we like, and certain kinds we don't. And well, he was saying that he did whatever he could so he could reach the common people he was around. Here he says, let's see, keep reading. And unto the Jews, verse 20, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, who are those? The Gentiles, right? To them that are without law, as without law. So he didn't go around when he was with the Gentiles, didn't try to show them that I'm keeping the law of Israel, therefore he couldn't fellowship. No, was he under the law? No. So when he was with the Gentiles, he could pretend, or not pretend, he would live like he wasn't under the law, so he could reach the Gentiles. But he says, notice in brackets it says there, but being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. So he didn't break the scriptures, right? And the example I always use, maybe he had a pint of beer with some of the Gentiles. He didn't have 10 pints, right? But he was able to fellowship and minister to them. Whereas some Christians might say, well, I don't drink, you know? See, it's more important to preach the gospel. I'm not saying we all start drinking beer now. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's more important to preach the gospel, whatever it takes to preach the gospel, you know, and to get over the problems that we might have in starting that conversation because the people we don't like or we can't associate with, or maybe they have too high a position, or maybe they have too low a position, or maybe they have too middle of a position, you know, whatever gets in our head, whether they're too close to us or in our family, or whether see, the point is not whether that he preached to Jews or Gentiles. The point is he preached to anybody, right? And he did whatever it took to reach anybody. Right, and I know, I'll be the first to admit guilt here in that how much time do I spend in my life thinking about how can I reach so and so? Right, what can I do to reach so and so? How much of that is an important thing in my life right now at this point in my life? Right, verse 22, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, right? That I might by all means save everyone? No, some. Not everybody's going to believe, but if I don't get out there and make the effort, the some will never have a chance to call on the name of Jesus Christ and have salvation, right? Not have the chance. And this I do, 23, for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. What is he saying? Preach the gospel to anybody you possibly can, right? That you may obtain, right? I mean, God, is it not a commandment of God? Isn't that what Peter and John said, right? It's a commandment of God that we preach the gospel, right? We'll close in 1 Thessalonians. And so whatever it takes for us to get over that, you know, uncomfortableness, fear, you know, oh, they might think I'm stupid, or they might think I'm a little holy person, and they might not like me, or they might not, you know, all those things should pale if you think about bringing one person to eternal life, right? All of them. There couldn't be an issue that would ever stop us if we think about just one person being brought to eternal life by our putting up with the uncomfortableness, the, you know, whatever we might think, people would think of us, or what have you. Just how we close here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just a couple of verses here on Paul's and company's entrance into Thessalonica in chapter 2, verse 1, why they did this. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. Okay, so they had suffered before. They were shamefully entreated. Paul was no, you know, it wasn't a stranger to problems because of preaching the gospel. Right? We know that. As you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto the gospel of God with much contention. It didn't matter that there were problems. Most believers would say as soon as there's a roadblock, this is terrible. I don't want to do this. They preached the gospel with much contention. There were problems. People got in their face and said, don't. They were stoned, right? Once, I mean, night and the day in the deep, all things Paul went through, yet they preached the gospel. It's not going to be a smooth trip, right? Every time they opened their mouths in Acts, somebody tried to stone them, put them in prison, shut them up, right? And they followed them around when they preached the gospel. Right? So you can count on the fact that when you preach the gospel, it's not going to be smooth. It's not. For our exhortation, verse 3, was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Allowed of who? God. Right, there it is again. Be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men. Isn't that what they said in Acts? Isn't that exactly what he said? Look, whether you know it's right for us to please God or man, you judge. You figure it out. That's what he said. We're going to do what we've been told to do. Here, Paul says the same thing. Even so we speak not as pleasing men, because guaranteed the preaching of the gospel will many times not please men. Right? But who does it please? But God, which trieth our hearts. Verse 6. For neither at any time used we flattering words. They weren't trying to flatter them into, oh, you know, you're such a wonderful person. You know, I love the way you dress. Aren't you great? Be our friend. No, they preached the gospel, right? They weren't trying to please them. They were trying to get them to confess Jesus Christ and have eternal life, right? So not we wouldn't use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. You know, oh, I really want to witness a person so I can have 800 people in our church, you know. And no, there's no cloak. There's no cloak of covetousness. There's no flattery. It's you being concerned for that individual, that you can reach them. Because if you don't preach it, they're not going to be able to believe. Right? God is witness, he says. He goes, you don't believe me? God's witness. Verse 6, nor of men sought we glory. Oh, aren't they great? They speak the word so much. You know, I witness to 10 people every day. Did you guys, you know, you guys keep a record track? That's the most, you know, the greatest preacher in the world, right? Well, the greatest, one of the greatest preacher, the guy who's called the preacher of righteousness. Who's that? Noah in the Bible is called the preacher of righteousness. What is his success rate over 120 years of preaching? Zero. Nobody believed him. Right? He's called the preacher of righteousness. Right? I guarantee you that he will get his reward. Right? nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Again, they could have been, but they weren't. But we were gentle, and here's how they preached the gospel. They were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us, right? They gave not just the gospel, they gave their lives in preaching the gospel. So I guarantee a few doors shut in your mouth or made to feel uncomfortable doesn't even come close to giving our whole soul to make sure the gospel is preached in the situations that we're confronted with. Right? Verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day. Not 10 minutes every third week or something, but laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach, see that? Again, he didn't want them to take care of his physical needs even. They actually worked. They actually had jobs because they said they didn't want to be chargeable. We preached unto the gospel of God. No one could say, well, you guys are just doing it because you're getting fed. They couldn't say that to Paul because he didn't take that. He didn't accept it. Verse 11, you are witnesses, Sir 10, how whole, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted every and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And here it is, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, even though men were preaching, right? But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And that is where we need, or we should want to get the people we minister to you, where they accept it as the word of God and believe it, and then they see effectual results in their lives. Effectual meaning the exact results that they need in their lives, right? And that is how Paul entered into Thessalonica and other places too. But, you know, again, a lot of things in God's word about preaching the word itself. But just a few records I thought we'd look at too. Just, you know, again, to remind us of how important it is for us to open our mouths, right? Just a simple act of opening our mouth and saying, hey, you know, Jesus Christ died for you. God raised him from the dead for you. He's seated at the right hand of God, and he's coming back. And you know, the Old Testament said everything that God said he was going to do was fulfilled. Right? And he's coming back for you. You call on his name, you will not be disappointed. Right? You know, real simple words, simple truth, but truth that can take a person from being under the adversary's kingdom to being seated at the right hand of God in a few minutes. Right? A few minutes of maybe uncomfortableness on our part, right? Or a few minutes of, oh boy, I don't know, fear, trepidation, all things that might come up, just overcoming that by recognizing that, you know, all things to all men. My words can reach and bring this person, whoever it is, whether you hate them, like them, dislike them, like to hang out with them, doesn't matter, right? To the point where they can be seated at the right hand of God with us, right? So, you know, we hold a very, very important responsibility, but a great privilege at the same time, be able to speak God's word. Right.